Hey everyone, you're listening to the official podcast of 4playernetwork.com. Check us out at that address for everything you need to know about our community, monthly giveaways, and nightly live streams. You can even support us on Patreon at patreon.com/4player. And last but not least, you can catch the live recordings of these podcasts every single Thursday night on our Twitch channel. We hope to see you there. Enjoy. Welcome to the official 4-player podcast, Avengers Infinity War Popcorn Cast. We're going to be spoiling the shit out of this movie, so I'm going to go ahead and just say this right now. If you have not yet seen Avengers Infinity War, stop what you're doing, go watch it, and then come back and listen to this.
Thanos kills Dumbledore.
Yeah, he does.
Fucking A. Well, he certainly kills somebody, which is the first spoiler, but I am... First of all, my name is Nick Henderson. I am joined by Christopher Guthridge.
Hello.
Nolan Hedstrom.
How's it going, everybody?
And Christopher Davis.
Hello, hello.
And we've all seen Avengers Infinity War, and we are ready to talk about it. It's a big movie. It is the culmination of what? This would be number 19, right? The 19th
yes.
Marvel movie?
I believe so. 18, 19?
I think Black Panther was 18.
Yeah.
So...
This is 48 years in the making.
It's 40.
Stop it.
It is crazy though to see how many movies they've put out. Like, look at James Bond. They're at what, like 25 James Bond movies, but over how many years? And they've done 19 Marvel movies in the span of like 10 years. pretty nuts.
There's been 31 Godzilla movies, and that's been going on since 1954.
I didn't.
You've
ruined everything, Chris Davis. We're not here to talk about Godzilla. We're here to talk about Marvel and the Avengers.
Why the fuck am I here?
Because you've seen,
down.
Infinity War. This is not a Godzilla podcast. We're here to talk about the Avengers. So let's talk about the fucking Avengers. Where do we start? I guess fucking just...
Well, probably at the beginning. So Iron Man in 2008.
I hate you.
No.
Was it a way?
Yes, I think.
I think
Iron Man 1 2008. I think it
yes,
was.
Yeah. 2008. Yep. Sure that's was. Why this is. That's why. That's why this. Everyone's been the big push this year is 10 years. 10 years of the Marvel.
Oh yeah, because they did the
experiment.
They did that big group photo, which was really cute.
Yeah. We'll just start with the. I mean, the movie starts with them. On with Thor and company, or lack thereof. Yes. Am I wrong in that? They started on.
No, it picks up right after the post credits.
Thor Ragnarok. At the end of Thor Ragnarok, it's their escape vessel, and then Thanos' ship is there, and now we're on the ship, and everyone's dead, and who knows where Valkyrie is.
First question.
Korg is. What's up, Nick?
Oh, that was the question.
Where's Korg?
And where's Korg?
Yeah, that was my. Like, what the fuck? Where's.
I would have loved.
Where's Meek?
I would have loved to see Korg take a swing at Thanos.
Yeah, he probably would have just been destroyed.
Probably wouldn't work out.
But that would have been fantastic.
I agree. So let's just get right into that. Spoilers, obviously. Do you think Loki's gonna stay dead?
Yes.
Okay. Here's
getting big start fast. Yes, go. Nick, what?
Can they do that? Like, why I mean, not? I know they can do that, but like, his death scene at the beginning of this movie felt so like inconsequential. Like, it just felt so fast. Like, is that character going like just gone?
I think his death was like a primer for the entire film. Like, expect this for the rest of the fucking film.
Yeah. I suppose, but there's also a certain level of like doubt that the audience is gonna know. Like, there's been a lot of talk about like. A lot of people in this movie, quote unquote, die. Mm-hmm. But we also know that a lot of those people who died have contracts for additional films. So we know they're all, a lot of them are coming back. The question now becomes like, where is the line between who gets brought back and who doesn't? The people who have contracts come back and the people who don't?
I think it's an interesting scenario you could be in. Obviously, actors often will not want to be in a role anymore. And so sometimes they'll even ask for their character to be killed off.
I don't think that happens a lot in Marvel, though.
Well, I mean, they could always bring him back, and if Tom Hiddleston doesn't want to do it anymore, Matt Damon played a pretty good Loki. So they could always just have him reprise the role.
Oh, that's funny.
But no, so I honestly do think he might stay dead.
I mean, of all the characters who...
I don't know. I think if I had to guess, I would say if they're still making Marvel movies in 5 years, is there any chance that Loki would still be around? I'd say probably.
That would be because
I don't know. He's very much more like a background player in the whole thing. Like he's a plot device that can be used for a lot of stuff. You know, I don't think keeping him dead would do as much as keeping him around. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But he's a plot device to play off of Thor, though.
Yeah, like, but yeah,
Thor is not going anywhere.
Well, I guess. I mean, most of the talks have been around Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans being close to departing. So I don't really know. I haven't really been following too much about Chris Hemsworth and where he stands in the whole thing. But I wouldn't be surprised if Thor is replaced, you know, like, you know, with a different Thor or something. I don't know. I feel like Loki would be like you said, Nolan. Like, if they're, or Crispy, if it's like 5 years from now, they're making Marvel movies, and all of a sudden an argument could be made for them to just spring him on the audience, be like, oh, we haven't seen him since you thought he died in that movie like 3 years ago. Like, that would be a cool, like surprising moment for a future Marvel movie. But I think maybe for the immediate future, he's out of the picture, at the very least.
Potential. But anyway, so going back to that first scene, obviously there's, and I'm really glad they did this, and I think more movies, I mean, not necessarily Marvel films, but they just leave a bunch up to assumption. You assume, you know, the fact that he already has an Infinity Stone that he got from a planet named Nova, the Nova Corps.
Xandar.
From Xandar. That's said in like one line.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't matter. Who cares? Like, he got one. Sure. Like, we don't need to have every single beat by beat. You know, obviously, I'm sure they probably even thought about filming something for how he got it. But it's like, you know what? This movie's already long enough. Who the fuck cares?
I'm pretty sure they also showed, like, in some, like, cutaway or, like, montage sequence, I'm pretty sure they showed Xandar being...
Oh, really?
It's possible. Okay. The thing is, Marvel knows where to cut corners.
Maybe that was Titan. I don't remember. There's too much shit in that movie.
Guys, anyway, does this mean that he killed Glenn Close?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I would be 50-50 about it.
Yeah.
Was that a joke?
A little bit of a joke, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it didn't fly with anyone. Moving on. So I did enjoy that first scene. It kind of gets things going fucking right away. Thor is still, I think he's retained a lot from Ragnarok, and he's a little more lighthearted. You know, obviously joking with Thanos as Thanos is about to kill him. I did like that they kind of straight right out of the way got the Hulk Thanos thing going.
Yeah.
Within the first like minute or two of the movie.
I missed something. Mm-hmm. What exactly was going on with the Hulk in this movie? Why couldn't he become the Hulk?
Why couldn't he get it up, his Hulk
he
up?
He was afraid of
it. Was a plot device. Yeah, I mean that was, I mean, the assumption is, and I wish they would have explained it slightly more, that yeah, Hulk was afraid of Thanos because Thanos, like,
if you think about it, this is like the first time Hulk's lost anything.
Yeah.
Like even in Thor Ragnarok, like, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that in Ragnarok, he only won the fight with Thor because Thor had the control device on him. But still, he kind of fucked him up anyway. Yeah.
So the assumption here is that him not being able to turn into the Hulk is kind of like the Hulk tucking his tail between his legs and running.
Well, yeah, it's just another bit of texture to show you how scary Thanos is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the Hulk doesn't want to fight him. Oh my god.
And that was the whole point of, and I do like that we kind of, I don't know how Bruce Banner would slightly turn into the Hulk. You know, the process that we need to kind of go and then go away, come back, go away, like in that kind of almost like him turning, and then, you know, Hulk would be like, no. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that.
Like, they, and if you pay attention to, like, the post-film release interviews with, like, Kevin Feige and other people, they said that they've set up, like, a mini-story arc just for Bruce Banner and the Hulk, starting in Thor Ragnarok, continuing in this film, and then ending in Avengers 4.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think they did, a lot of setup, or not even setup, because some of the characters just aren't getting set up, but there's a lot of characters that they are kind of keeping close to the chest and being, like, And they're not even bothering to do anything. Like, they didn't bother to do anything, obviously, with, like, Hawkeye wasn't in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Who else was that? Oh, Ant-Man wasn't in the movie. Remember last week on the podcast when y'all were like, Nick, just watch Ant-Man. He's going to be in the fucking movie. And he wasn't in the movie?
He was there. There was one scene. He was tiny in the background. He was there.
Did y'all see the GIF? Maybe somebody in chat can find this GIF. I found where it was like the thing where Thanos was putting the Infinity Stone in his gauntlet, and like it like magnetized. You know, like he lets go of it, and like it magnetizes to his gauntlet. And then as soon as it touches the gauntlet, you see it like lift back up, and you see Ant-Man run off with it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. No. Someone should find that.
It's like whoop.
Yeah.
But anyway, so back to that first scene. I don't mind Heimdall dying. It sucks. I really did like Idris Elba as that character. I wish you had seen him more.
He wasn't three movies. That's more than I thought we'd get out of that character. Yeah. Or four now, I guess.
Yeah.
And he got time to shine in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Then they sent Thor or sent Hulk back to Earth to warn them.
That was kind of an interesting thing. So did he send the Hulk through?
He opened a portal through the Bifrost.
The Bifrost.
Is that correct? Yeah.
And then sent him, which crashed him into Doctor Strange's, what do you call that,
Chris? Sanctum.
Sanctum. Thank you.
The New York Sanctum.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was kind of a nice. It was kind of a nice way to like bring them together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a plot device, I suppose, to kind of bring them together so quickly, but it made sense in context, I think.
I was kind of half joking about us starting at the beginning and going through. But yeah, let's stop going in order. Let's just talk about the movie.
Yeah, dude.
That's pretty good, man. I think they did a fairly good job. And we talked about this after the movie. Of taking something that's extremely long. Like how many, it's like two and a half hours. How long is it?
Dude, I thought the movie was shorter than I was expecting.
How long, Crispy? 149 minutes. So this quite long movie. And Nick, the reason it felt short was because they kept jumping around.
Yeah.
You know, no scene was longer than like maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes.
Now you guys know I fucking ordered a thing of popcorn because I thought there was still like an hour and a half left in the movie. And then like 10 minutes later the movie ended and I had a huge thing of popcorn in my lap and I was like, well, what am I gonna do with all this popcorn? Yeah. Like it was just over.
But so one of the things I was worried about, especially coming off of Thor Ragnarok, was that was, you know, obviously a movie filled with humor. And I was worried that this movie, obviously, about Thanos killing a bunch of people, was going to be a little depressing, and I wasn't sure how they were going to handle the humor. And I think they did a fairly good job of balancing kind of the back and forth they did between humorous scenes with certain characters, who that is their kind of shtick, like Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously. The first time you see them, it opens with the card, Space. And it's them flying in space, and the music's a little bit lighter, and it's them kind of, you know, we're going to go check out this abandoned ship, this distress beacon, and if everyone's dead, we'll just take their ship, or whatever, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, there's a lot of blending of, like, the different, like, shooting styles, and unit, like, they have their own little niches or corners of the universe that have different, like, specific styles, and they did a pretty good job of blending them together. Like at the big battle in Wakanda felt very much like Black Panther. I mean, I know Black Panther was there and they were in Wakanda, but like suddenly I felt like I was watching kind of watching a scene out of Black Panther. And when they were in space, it kind of felt like I was watching a scene out of Guardians of the Galaxy, but it never, none of it ever really felt like it was clashing. At least it didn't to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty impressive. Not to mention just, so like, of course, I think with any superhero movie these days, everyone knows, like everyone, I think for a long time, the point of reference was like Spider-Man 3. Like they tried to do three villains in that movie and it fucking fell to pieces and for, you know, more reasons than one, but like it was like, how are they gonna do this many characters, hero characters, villain characters in one movie, in a 2.5 hour long movie, and not make it feel like a rushed mess? And I think, I don't know how I think I'm gonna have to watch it again before I decide how successful I think they were at that, but I certainly don't think they failed at it. I think they did a pretty good job of balancing everything. I did say this after the movie, and I don't feel like any one character had much of a chance to like truly shine. I think there were some standout moments. I think the scene with Captain America like confronting Thanos was pretty fucking cool. But like, well, I don't know.
The problem there is that you've got to let like 300,000 characters shine in a 2.5-hour film.
And that was my concern. It was like, but I feel like there still needs to be a character or two kind of driving everything forward. I think that still was Captain America and Iron Man.
But another thing,
Captain America was like such a background element here, though.
Yeah,
the character who was really driving everything forward was Thanos. Iron Man and Doctor Strange were like another main character set.
Let's talk about that. Thanos, what a fucking great villain.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, dude.
His logic doesn't hold up at all, though.
Well, hold on. So if you think about it, one of our biggest complaints about all these movies coming up, besides maybe Spider-Man Homecoming, is the villains have always been lacking because most of the time they're just in it for power or money or because they want to get Spider-Man. Tony Stark is Iron Man now and I want to steal his technology, so I'm going to become a bigger, badder Iron Man and kill him and take his... It doesn't really make sense. I like the fact that Thanos had an idea that he believed in. He really thought this is doing good.
And I know a lot of people have kind of poked holes in his logic of the fact that he's using the big argument I've seen a lot is, you know, he has all the Infinity Stones. He could just as easily double the resources in the universe as opposed to killing half the universe. But I also think that, you know, one, you got to suspend your disbelief. Two, I feel like he is a villain. He is fundamentally misguided, as like that's kind of what makes him a villain. So like, you know, part of it might just be he's, you know, kind of psychotic and like in his mind that is the most reasonable option.
I mean, he thinks he's the hero in what he's doing.
I know, but like a real hero would just double the resources and make it so that everybody can so that overpopulation and overutilization of the universe's limited resources wouldn't caused, you know, mass extinction. Like that was kind of his thing. His homeworld was plagued with you know, overpopulation, which, you know, reduced all of the resources to nothing, so everyone died out, right? That was kind of his driving motivation to do all this.
Well, I think there was like they fought wars over the last resources, basically.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't just that. It was the fact that because planet was overpopulated. He came up with the idea of, hey, let's kill a bunch of people at random so that we can make more efficient use of all of our stuff. And they're like, no, that's crazy. And then, war, I guess, happened because limited resources and everyone died and their planet went to shit. And he was like, if I could have just had my way, everything would be better. I know there are these stones that if I get them, I can make, you know, that happen so no one else has to suffer like I suffered.
Yeah, it's just like the issue comes into play when he has all those stones. And suddenly it's like, well, he can technically at that point do anything he wants.
Yeah.
So there was like so many different options he could have had. But with that said, I think they definitely went the extra mile. I'll say this about most of the villains in Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think have been leagues better than pretty much everything that came before it. Yeah. I think, you know, the Vulture was fantastic. Killmonger was fantastic. I think Thanos might, in my opinion, be kind of the weaker of the three I just named, but like he's still leagues better than most of the villains they've done in Phase 1 and Phase 2. And I think they've really kind of finally realized what they need to do to like make these villains. Going into this movie, I fully expected Thanos to be kind of just like a Hulkish type villain. Like I'm just a, you know, super powerful, want to kill everything. I was super surprised to see that he had, you know, motivations that seemed human in a way, or you know, not yeah. you know, relatable, maybe
dissenting relatable. Opinion.
Okay.
I think the thing that Marvel's been doing right lately with their villains is they're casting really talented actors to play them.
That's true.
True.
Like, true. I think that's what it is. I mean, Josh Brolin, you know, is fucking great. And he did a really good job here. The material was good. I don't I think it was more his performance that was like what people are keying into.
His performance definitely elevated the character.
I think I don't know. Like this attempt and this idea of like restructuring Thanos to try to make him more sympathetic by giving him a more like pragmatic and practical worldview. Mm-hmm. I think again, like it doesn't work as soon as like you walk out of the movie theater and you're like, oh wait, he had the power of a god. Like, why didn't he do literally anything else than what he was doing if he didn't want
to
do
that? I mean, you know?
Like that breaks down because like Thanos, like by the time you get to that level in like the mythos, you know, by the time you're on these like giant galaxy ending events and you're dealing with like these cosmic players, like I don't think that you should be humanizing that character. Like it's not a human being. I mean, Thanos was inspired by Darkseid, you know, which was a Jack Kirby character from DC, the New Gods. Like these were really larger than life kind of broadly sketched characters. I think of Thanos as being something like out of Greek mythology, you know? And I'm not saying that they shouldn't ever change backstories or rework characters. Like they've done that a lot over the last 10 years. And most of it has been for the better, you know? Most of it has been
a
positive change. But I think that changing this aspect about this character kind of takes away like what's kind of really cool about him. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I mean,
his original backstory of like he's doing all this not for any logical reason. He's doing this because he's literally in love with death. Because he wants to please death. Like that's how do you stop that? Like how do you negotiate with that?
So I wanted to bring that up because I read that. I wasn't aware of that the movie. I read that.
Yeah.
And because like up until this point, correct me if I'm wrong, they've kind of teased at Thanos over the course of all these movies, but they've never expressly hinted at what his motivations were until this movie, right?
Correct.
So I'm wondering why they felt the need, because I think his backstory, his motivations were kind of like indisputable, like in the comics, it sounds like. And like, I don't feel like there's any particular reason why they couldn't have just done that and still had it be a very well-realized character.
Yeah, you can have this like really arch kind of waxing philosophical kind of character, even if he's just a fucking raving madman, you know? It doesn't, like, he's Thanos the Mad Titan, not Thanos he actually brings up a pretty good point Titan, you know? like trying to inject rationality into him, I feel like is misplaced.
You're right.
You know? And it's kind of fighting that instinct that they've been fighting the whole time they've been making these movies, that idea of like, oh, we need to kind of like round off the edges of these really weird oblong comic booky aspects of these characters and these stories, which Marvel's been pretty good about not doing that. They've been pretty good about keeping things the way it is because they know that it works and they know that people like that, you know?
Here's what I would say about that is that most of the Marvel movies up until this point, the villains, they've been meant for one film. And it's clear that they want to have Thanos, again, like they say in the credits, Thanos will return. So if you're not going to give him that character background and motivation and setup, then he has to play off another villain, I think.
So first of all, we all know this movie was part one. Part two, The Avengers 4, is going to conclude the story and obviously probably kind of bring an end to Thanos's overarching story, right? Mm-hmm. But like the backstory of him wanting to please death is a backstory and it is motivation. Yeah, and honestly, it would be much harder to poke holes in it than what they did.
But the thing is that they've spent 10 years and 18 films setting up his character, not an additional character.
They've been setting up this conflict. Let's be clear about that. Like what works about the Avengers movies isn't that they're good stories or that they have these deep, thoughtful plots. The first Avengers is the exact opposite of that. What's good about the first Avengers, what's good about this movie is when the movie is just being a fucking like explosive fireworks display, when it's a celebration of Marvel, you know? It's not like trying to relay the super deep story. You've got a villain who we know is evil for reasons, and you've got this MacGuffin that is literally a device that controls reality and time, why wouldn't an evil guy want that? You know, we don't need to, I don't know. You don't need to really think too deeply into that. The stuff for me that really worked in this movie was like the heroes interacting with one another, was like the big fight scenes. It wasn't necessarily every time Thanos like got all navel-gazy and like wistful and thinking about like how he's doing the right thing and he's the only one strong enough to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think you need to invest that much quote unquote character development into a character like Thanos. Not that they really even have, you know.
True. And honestly, if they had gone with the story of him wanting to please Death, one, it could have allowed them to introduce Death as a character. Two, it would have been much harder to poke holes in his motivations. And three, it would have been a little bit simpler and maybe would have allowed the heroes to have a little bit more time to shine, or maybe just result in a little bit shorter movie. I don't know. Like none of those things, I mean, like a bad thing.
Could have been, I don't know. I don't think it brings the movie down really.
No.
I just think it is kind of disheartening that like we've been sitting here waiting for 10 years for this moment. We get here and it's like, wow, that's really cool. But as soon as I walked out of the theater, like we were standing outside the theater and I'm already going, you know, like what's up with that? Like, what's up with the whole reasoning behind this? Why is, I don't know. Like the whole thing with the soul or the soul stone on that one planet with Red Skull.
Vermeer.
And him having to kill, like, I don't know.
Can we talk about
the logic behind that whole thing? I'm still.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
The Red Skull appearance.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I remember him walking through snow. I remember nothing else. What the hell happened? what was that? What was that? Like, I remember seeing Red Skull wearing a hood and there was snow.
Yeah.
I do not remember at all what the point of that scene was or what happened.
The idea behind the Soul Stone is that to acquire it, there's a trick to it. You have to sacrifice the thing you love the most.
Yeah, which was Gamora.
Right.
Well, for him, that was Gamora. Yes.
So, where did Red Skull come into this?
Yeah, Red Skull very briefly just mentioned that he is now kind of cosmically tasked with watching over the Soul Stone. He has the burden of guiding people to a treasure he can never attain himself.
Yeah.
As some sort of oblique repentance for his sins of the past, you know,
okay.
with the Tesseract, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, makes sense. All right, or relatively. For those people who are confused in chat, for those people who are confused in chat, because I mentioned this before the show, I had some issues remembering certain parts of this movie. That's all I'm going to say. So that's one of them. That was a big hole. I could not figure out what the hell the point of that was. So, but that was kind of out of left field. I don't know. Like they were teasing for a long time. Like there's going to be a character, like a returning character. And I was like, in my head, I was going through all these characters to be. I did not think it was going to be Red Skull. Like, what the fuck?
Right?
That's the turn of events.
Yeah. So what you're telling me is that the grand mechanism of the cosmos is okay employing a Nazi.
Oh, shit. Well, when you put it like that.
Yeah.
Moving on. Come on. Oh, my goodness. All right, so. You mentioned one thing I think is really important to talk about is you mentioned the movie is most successful watching these characters interact. I completely agree with you. And for my, like the thing I was most looking forward to in this movie was seeing different characters finally meet and talk to each other and have interactions. And for the most part, I think this movie delivered.
There was a couple of things that one of the interesting things, I guess, was the fact that there were certain characters who just hadn't been around for a while. And that, you know, there were some obviously that, you know, Tony Stark had interacted with, I think, pretty much everyone except for the Guardians before this. And so, but then you have something like Hulk, who we hadn't been around the Avengers since Age of Ultron.
Yeah, so he was surprised to hear that, like, after Civil War, that the Avengers had, quote-unquote, broken up.
It had been several years. The last thing he was involved in was Sokovia.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty far back.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to see them, like, kind of fill the gaps in and have some banter back and forth about that stuff. Well, I do want to talk about, like, specific interactions. One thing that did kind of bum me out was how at the beginning of the movie, there were two distinct camps. Iron Man went off to Titan with Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, Mantis, and who was it? Rocket.
Star-Lord. Yeah, it was pretty much all the Guardians except for Rocket.
Rocket.
Yeah. And then Captain America went off with everybody else, kind of. And it was like there were characters on both sides of both of those groups that I would have liked to see interact.
But there's so many characters. You need to compartmentalize things.
True, and I get why they did it, and there is a whole other movie coming, so I'm sure we will kind of, I have a feeling there are going to be some, like, they're probably going to do something similar in the second one, but, like, they're probably going to do some shuffling around, so you can see different characters interact.
Again, if you pay attention to the post-film release review interviews, half the idea of, like, why the time was so limited with Captain America and Iron Man and the other characters is that they were meant to have screen time in the next film.
Yeah.
And be more propagated there.
And I don't doubt that's going to happen. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if, so, like, obviously this movie, kind of jumping forward, this movie ended with Thanos snapping his fingers and half of the universe being randomly killed, which involved a lot of superheroes randomly being killed. I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't resolve itself until, like, more than halfway through, or maybe even the end of the Avengers 4, so you're left with, like, a much smaller group of heroes.
My assumption was... I mean, obviously we're spoilers, whatever. You know, a lot of people died. My assumption is pretty much all of them are going to come back. I'm assuming someone like Captain America, whoever, is somehow going to get a hold of the gauntlet. They're going to interact. I mean, obviously the end of the movie, the gauntlet's all kind of fucked up. But we also know there was another gauntlet at wherever giant Peter Dinklage was, that the forge.
He had the mold.
Oh, so my God, guys.
Was that a mold, or was that an actual, like, a replica of the gauntlet? It seemed like it was another, like, version.
Guys, another quick aside about me having, like, weird blackouts in this movie. Mm-hmm. The Peter Dinklage thing feels like a fever dream. What was that?
he's a giant space dwarf.
Chris was the guy who forged Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
And he goes, it is people forged Mjolnir.
Hey, yeah, was it... What's it? So, playing God of War, does he happen to have the same name? Guy who forged Thor's hand.
No, he's not. Chris Davis, did you know that this was Peter Dinklage's biggest role?
God damn it, Nolan. How long have you been waiting to say that?
Dude, I said that right after
the movie. He said it to me during the movie.
You've been waiting days to say that to me, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh my God. And you know what? Anyway, he's probably going to get that a lot himself.
Probably. So, they can either replicate another gauntlet or, you know, whatever. But my assumption is someone like Captain America is going to sacrifice themselves, use the gauntlet. I mean, obviously wielding those stones is not something anyone can just do. Like a random person off the street can't just put on the gauntlet and control those stones. You have to have some power. My assumption is someone important, or some ones, maybe multiple, are going to wield the stones to bring everyone back and permanently lose their lives.
I think by the end of the Avengers 4, either one or both of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers will be dead.
So I mean we're getting off the actual film that we're on right now, but
the
current fan theories that are going on Reset Era and a bunch of different places right now is that Avengers 4 is basically going to be Scott and Tony's big excellent adventure, in which they use the Hank Pym particle as a method for time travel.
Wait, I'm sorry. The what?
The Pym particle. It's what powers Ant-Man's powers.
Yes.
You haven't seen Ant-Man, Nick!
I haven't.
Oh, that's true,
yeah. But I own it. Don't worry, I'm going to watch it. Guys, I promise you this. I promise you right now. I will watch Ant-Man before the Avengers 4 comes out.
You should watch it before
Ant-Man. Yeah, before Ant-Man 2, yeah.
That trailer was pretty good. I'll watch it.
Shut up.
What if I watch Ant-Man 2 before watching Ant-Man 1?
Stop it.
Just to upset you.
I mean, I firmly believe that you don't need to see any other movie in this franchise to enjoy any of these movies.
True. Yeah. That is probably true.
I think the greatest success of the Marvel experiment over this last decade has been tricking people into thinking that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a solid take.
They create a wonderful illusion where they have all these little nods and references that just enrich your knowledge if you've been paying attention. But if not, like, there's still a very easily to follow, easy to follow story with clearly defined stakes
within each one. Quick aside, Crispy, I will have you know, I did, right before watching Infinity War, I did watch Guardians of the Galaxy 2 for the second time, and I enjoyed it way more the second time than I did the first time.
I think that's my second favorite Marvel movie. It is so good. It's so good.
Sorry, you left me open to ask you that when you said second favorite. I figured you'd have an answer.
I don't know, Ragnarok. Like, I have to say Ragnarok, probably.
Me too.
That movie's so fucking good.
Fair enough.
I still love the Winter Soldier, but
the Winter Soldier is
Winter Soldier's fucking dope. It's great.
All right. Anyways, back to the movie we're on.
Well, let me throw this out there before we get back on our actual thing that we started on. I say, let's a year from now, about a year from now, before Avengers 4 comes out, let's do like a pre Avengers 4 like spoiler cast about speculating about the film.
Oh yeah.
And then we'll have an extra spoiler cast about the film afterwards.
I thought you were about to say like we should watch all the movies, and I was like, I did that. Let's not do that again.
God help us, no.
Back on Infinity War. Let's just talk. I want to talk about character interactions.
Mm-hmm. So I will say, one of my favorite scenes in that movie is when Thor first interacts with the Guardians. And Drax and everyone else is obsessing over Thor, and Quill's getting all fucking butthurt and jealous. Yeah. And the line that I think Rocket said it to Peter.
You mean Rabbit?
Yes, sorry, the Rabbit said
to Peter, I forgot I kept calling him Rabbit.
You're one sandwich away from being fat, or whatever the line was. And he was like looking at his like his chin was kind of getting a little big. I thought that was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The other one I really liked, another scene of interactions, is almost towards the end of the movie when Thor shows up and he's finding everyone and he's like greeting Captain Maritime with his beard and he's like, "Oh, this is my friend Tree," and he's like, "I am Groot," and he's like, "I am Steve Rogers."
Yeah,
that was a great scene. I forgot about that. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for that. Was pretty good,
dude. There was a lot of just like little scenes in this that. Just two people interacting, just talking to each other, but just comes across so funny.
I did like it when Rocket
tries to buy Bucky's arm.
Oh yeah,
I want to get that arm.
No, when Rocket gives Thor the new eye, and he's like, "Oh, I'd watch that. I had to smuggle it out of."
Yeah, you should probably watch that first.
I smuggled that out of my ass. I liked the quip between Peter Parker and Doctor Strange. I know that was in the trailer, but
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Oh, so we're using our made up names now. Mm-hmm. Okay, I am Spider-Man. That's pretty good.
And can I ask something? You know, just meta wise, is this like is the way they shot and pitched the trailers for this film and then for like fucking Rogue One? Is this like Disney's new thing about doing trailers? We're gonna make up a bunch of scenes and then not include them in the movie.
No, that happens all the time.
Rogue One is a very special case because Rogue One was heavily reshot.
Yeah.
Like there was some huge production trouble.
Like Disney won't even let
a lot of shit. Yeah, that's why there's a lot of shit in those trailers that didn't end up in the movie because there was basically another movie of Rogue One.
Yeah. I mean, and that does happen a lot. Maybe more often than you realize.
I bet it's a little more deliberate in the Marvel case, though. I bet they have a lot of stuff that they shot and that they had to cut. Like there was probably a 3-hour cut of this movie at one point.
I will say that the scene where Peter and Doctor Strange have that little quip of "Oh, we're using our made up names," that was actually a different cut in the trailer than it was in the movie.
Part time.
Part time.
Speaking of Spider-Man. How about that fucking Iron Spider suit?
I don't like it. I don't like the concept of Iron Spider, but it looked cool.
I don't like the metallic silvery whatever, but I fucking loved the fucking legs. When he was doing some shit with the legs, when Doctor Strange was getting pulled out of the ship and he was using them, when he was fighting, and like when he caught Mantis and was tumbling around, I liked that they weren't used so much that it was insane, but they were there. Just enough to make it like worth it.
Yeah, they struck a good balance.
Maddie Farah in chat has a good point though. It does look better than the comic version when they introduced it in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
That Iron Spider
that, suit. Was that the one that was just red and yellow?
Yeah, it's like Iron Man's
color. Yeah, I don't like that one. I think this one looked pretty good.
I don't know, better, but like still, like the whole thing just to me symbolically like represents kind of Spider-Man on the wrong path, you know? Because that's what that symbol was, or that's what that suit was metaphorically in Civil War, was like him listening to Iron Man and becoming his lackey and like basically becoming something that wasn't Spider-Man and then having reverse and all that. And like, I don't know, like Spider-Man has like one of the most unique power sets of any superhero. There is not another hero out there that is like a reskin of Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
And when you give him the Iron Spider suit, it kind of just adds shit to him that other people have, you know? And it's like, I don't know. It's like Spider-Man's so
don't get me wrong. I do really hope that in the sequel to Homecoming, he doesn't have this suit.
No, I'm sure he won't. It's one of those things where it's like the Justice League's going to fight Darkseid, so Batman has to put on power armor because it doesn't make any sense otherwise.
Yeah, I did want to say the same thing. Like I really did enjoy seeing the iron what do they call it? The Iron Spider suit or whatever.
Yeah.
It was cool. I think it added a lot to this film, but it's also kind of like you said, I want it to be a one and done thing. I would like to
agree.
Yeah.
I also did
alternate costume.
Him saving Mantis, that made me think, that reminded me of when they were on Titan and he was saving them and he's like webbing them all and he's like, I don't remember any of your names. Which is just honestly realistic. Honestly, if you think you were in this ultimate fight with a bunch of people and you just recently met someone, do you maybe think you'd remember them? It's like a hectic kind of time. I like that little quip.
It's also the first time that you're on an alien planet.
That's true too, yeah.
I think Peter Parker continues to be one of the most well-realized characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And on the suit, the thing I really like about it, or how they handled it, is that they kind of learned their lesson from the audience, some of the audience fatigue from Homecoming, in that they didn't over-explain everything about it. Yeah. Like, it wasn't him, there wasn't entire scenes devoted to him learning how to use the fucking suit. They just kind of fucking use it.
I mean, I think that worked really well in Homecoming, but like, they didn't...
I think they did it too much in Homecoming.
Oh, but like that was some of the best shit. Like the thing with him at the gas station and like trying to figure out how the suit worked was so good. Yeah. Sorry, we don't need to just focus on the spider suit, but I thought, I don't know. They've moved on from that part of his story, and now I feel like he's a little bit more experienced, and they're kind of rolling with that, which is cool. What other interactions are?
Oh my god, so a lot. Let's talk about Thanos's lackeys. I don't remember any of their names,
dude. That one guy looked pretty cool. I liked their design,
or when he first shows up, I did enjoy that scene where it's Tony and Wong and Doctor Strange, and obviously they send hold on, while I'm thinking about it, we're talking about like potholes and shit. Why did Doctor Strange not just open a portal and then close it around Thanos' arm to just remove the gauntlet?
See,
anyway.
No,
anyway.
You just gotta stop those thoughts, because that's the kind of shit that ruins movies like this.
I know.
I can tell you why. Because he saw into the future and saw 14 million permutations of what could happen, and he acted out the one that potentially let them win.
No, I know. I agree with you. I agree that the reason he said he would not ever give the stone to save Tony's life, but he did, was because that was probably what he needed to do to fulfill that one outcome. Anyway, yeah,
I think it's kind of cool to think about that for the entire movie. After Doctor Strange says that line, you kind of realize that like Doctor Strange probably knew all of this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And he's just waiting for it to get to that point so it can happen.
Correct.
Yeah.
But anyway, So I was just going to say, I liked that first fight. I liked it because it hadn't gotten too out of hand. Nothing crazy was going on. They were in the city. They were fighting. Obviously, this wizard guy is super fucking powerful. We don't really know anything about it. I don't even know if he's a wizard.
Ebony Maw.
That guy's name was Ebony Maw. Ebony Maw. Okay, so Ebony Maw.
Don't his lackeys have a...
They're called the Black Order.
Okay, so anyway... You know, he's obviously very powerful. He's doing some pretty crazy shit. I loved when he fucking threw all the spikes at them and Doctor Strange created a portal and Wong created the other portal. That was a great concept. And I really enjoyed when all of a sudden he just became super powerful. You know, he was doing all this shit. Obviously, more powerful than Doctor Strange. And then all you realize that Doctor Strange has the spell on the amulet, so he can't take it from him, but he also can't kill him because, you know, the way how spells react when the wizard died, whatever. So he ends up just like, okay, well, I'll just take you anyway. And then his fucking cape just flies off. That was a great scene. Like, I didn't even realize that his cape, the cloak of levitation flies off and just flying around the city. And Peter shows up. Oh, you know, an alien's trying to steal a necklace from a wizard. That is actually exactly what is happening. Yeah. And just actually, that's great. Just Peter shows up.
Just go with it.
Okay. Just throwing him in the deep end.
And then
kid, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizard.
He goes flying off and he's like, there goes the wizard. I fucking loved that scene.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't wait to watch this movie again.
Me too. Like, it was one of the things after the movie, I was super kind of like, I don't know what to think. The more it sat with me, the more I realized I did enjoy it. It's not perfect, but yes, I do want to watch it again sooner than later see all those things that I missed before, especially because, and this is a problem with any movie you watch in theaters, anytime a joke is said and the audience laughs hysterically because it's the funniest thing they've ever heard, hear the next like two lines of dialogue.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's not the, you know, make or break for the movie, but still, I would like to hear them.
Robin did lean over. She's like, I wish this had subtitles.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the people, there was a guy in front of you and Robin who was going crazy every time anything happened.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he lost his shit when the Red Skull showed up.
Not really. He lost his shit more when Bucky showed up.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was in love with Bucky.
So why didn't they do, unless maybe I'm wrong, did they not do the whole White Wolf thing? I thought this was going to be his first outing as him as the White Wolf, not the Winter Soldier.
They referred to him as the White Wolf.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought he had I thought he was going to look different.
No. I mean, his arm looks different.
They call him that when they're bringing him in the arm.
Correct.
Oh.
The vibranium arm, when they first bring it to him, they mentioned he's like something about something. It's time for the White Wolf or something like that.
And what role did Shuri play? I can't remember which.
So she was the one that was. Oh my god! We have yet to even mention Vision. She was trying to
She was trying to remove the Mind Stone.
She was trying to take the synapses.
She was reconnecting the synapses that were hooked into the Mind
Stone. Yeah, so that Vision could stay alive but no longer need the Mind Stone.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Cool. I wish we had seen more Shuri.
Agree that Shuri wasn't in enough. But once again, I mean,
Captain America wasn't in.
That's true. I think Shuri was in it barely less than Captain America. But yeah, and once again, we've already talked about that. That's just a limitation of, you know, the movie itself.
Yeah. Are they still rolling with this whole Scarlet Witch and Vision romance thing? That's
been a thing in the comics.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, is it kind of looked like it, didn't it?
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
That is absolutely a comic thing too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know. Ever since the whole like Hulk and Black Widow thing, I was like, I feel like they're picking really weird, like they're just making really odd choices with like people. I just don't feel like they have any of the couples they're putting together in this series to have much chemistry as couples. I don't know.
I mean, because it's all like,
I mean, someone's got to fuck someone.
I guess, but like, why they're picking weird ones, man? They're picking weird ones.
Hulk and Black Widow's okay. Bruce Banner.
You know what? Another great couple.
Oh god, I can't. I just thought of the GIF. I'm sorry,
Peter.
I had the cucumber.
Cloak of levitation.
Peter and the cloak of levitation.
I just love that scene where he like tries to introduce himself to the cloak.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, I guess he assumed it was like an invisible person or something. And he's like, oh, I'm Peter. And like the cloak flies off.
I can't remember that. I can't wait to watch this again. Damn it. Oh, man. What about the Wakanda fight?
It was all right.
It was okay. Interesting. I did like the concept of the, you know, the baddies having some race, some group of like monster dog things that would just destroy themselves to try and get at what they're trying to get at. Like that was an insane scene where they were trying to get to the barrier.
Tell you what they look like. They didn't look like dogs. They look like the alien from the very beginning of Men in Black.
Weren't those Chitauri?
They weren't Chitauri.
Yeah,
I mean, not 100%. Maybe they were like a type of Chitauri.
I mean, it would make sense. Thanos was involved with the Chitauri in the original Avengers.
Correct. Yeah,
and you even see some Chitauri at the beginning of this movie, like you see the big thing, whale things flying around
when they're on Gamora's planet.
Yeah, in the flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, One thing I will say is the Wakanda fight was cool, but I was a little bit let down, mostly because I think fights in these movies, historically speaking, are just a thousand times more entertaining when it's like two humans or humanoid people fighting. Like watching them fight dogs wasn't super, you know, wasn't and really doing it for me.
It's one of those scenarios where it can be tough when it's just one on one or one, you know what I'm saying? You
That's have why to, I think like, my favorite shot of this whole movie is the shot with Captain America like clashing with Thanos and like holding his hand back. Like that, I think, is iconic. And I think it's a great, great scene.
I thought there were some good fights, you know, with Scarlet Witch and Vision when they're in Scotland and the Thanos's lackeys show up and they have that kind of fight.
Yeah, I went to the bathroom at that part, so
I didn't
that one. That one, I very specifically know why I don't remember.
Okay, well, that's fine. It was a good fight. Were you there when everyone else showed up?
Yes, I got back pretty much right as they showed up.
I thought that was a fucking great intro to everyone else, like them showing up to help them out. You know, just that one shot of the train going by, and then as soon as it passes, you see fucking Captain America in the shadows.
Yeah,
and then they just proceed to fucking destroy, and not destroy, but like definitely give it to the what are they called again, Crispy?
The
what's up?
The
Thanos's group, the Black something,
the Black Order. The Black,
yeah, the Black Order.
The Black Order. Yeah, I thought that was a great scene. Yeah,
definitely was cool. Definitely was cool.
Once again, it was a scenario where yes, there was definitely less people involved. I do agree that the end had the massive battle with thousands of enemies and everyone just trying their hardest. And
it was a cool spectacle.
It was. And then when Thor finally shows up with his axe now and fucking just proceeds to destroy them all, that was great too.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie definitely has some killer moments. Even if I feel like there have been better moments in other MCU, especially maybe even other Avengers movies, like I still think all these fight scenes shined in this movie for the most part. So, yeah.
I did have to step away for a couple of minutes because Butters was being a little pissed. Have we talked yet about Thanos and Gamora?
No, I actually wanted to bring that up because
at Tanagra.
Are you talking specifically about how he throws her off?
Not necessarily. No, there's their interaction. I mean, obviously, it's more than just when they're on the. It's you know when he comes and he takes her and you know Quill obviously doesn't shoot and then their interactions on his ship with you know Nebula and stuff and then you know their flashbacks of their relationship and stuff like that.
Him
quote loving her and raising her and her saying that you know everything that's you know what that you like about me is why I hate myself or whatever.
Yeah.
I did like the characters and stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I loved the.
Torn. Mm-hmm. I'm torn because I really like Gamora as a character a lot, and I liked the backstory that they added here with her relationship with Thanos. I think those were impactful, but I also am like really bummed that they killed her by throwing her off the cliff or whatever. She's one of those. She's probably the one character in the movie where I'm like really unsure as to whether she will come back.
I don't think she will.
If she does, she's the entire focus of Guardians 3 then.
Maybe. I mean, the thing is, they are making a Guardians 3, and I'm trying to imagine a Guardians of the Galaxy without her, and I feel like it'd be weird. Like, they have Mantis now, but I don't feel like Mantis is a replacement for Gamora by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know.
Mantis is involved with Drax, so...
Yeah, I know, but like what I'm saying is like Gamora is like I think she is just as integral to that lineup as Peter or Rocket. So trying to imagine a Guardians movie without her seems like a bummer. But also if they did bring her back, I think it kind of undercuts everything they did in Infinity War with like it kind of takes some of the oomph out of those scenes and out of what they did with her relationship with Thanos and her quote unquote death scene. I think it will kind of like tear the rug out from under that, all of that. So that's, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I want her to come back. I want to see more Gamora, but I don't know. I don't know if they can safely do it without it feeling like a cop out. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know either.
But yeah, I like the flashback where she's like, where it shows him going to her, I guess when he went to her planet and like,
yeah, that was him on her homeworld, yeah,
and like, and then took her with him, like you see Gamora when she's really young. That was a cool moment. What is it? He gives her that thing that's like a bat,
like a switchblade.
Yeah, and that's using that as kind of a metaphor to like talk about balance and how everything in the universe should be balanced. That was a little contrived, but it was nice. Yeah. I don't know. I'm torn. She's kind of one of the most interesting threads that I want to see picked up. Maybe if they never mention her again, I think it'll be a shame. But I think I have a feeling she's gonna come back. I don't know. I'm torn.
We'll see. I mean, James Gunn said that the third Guardians movie is going to be the end of the story of this group of Guardians. So, by 2020, there could, if the Guardians keep going on, it'll probably be some kind of shakeup.
You know, that's one thing. Like post Avengers 4, maybe in general the future of the MCU. I think it's really interesting because now the movies are going to start getting interesting because they're going to start shaking up established characters. Like we may get a new Captain America. We might get a new Iron Man. We may get a new, by the time we get Avengers 5, like the lineup of the Avengers may be completely different than what we have now. And I think that's where it's going to kind of maintain its excitement. I think like that's why these movies continue to be exciting and not old. They don't get old because they're going to like the whole, we haven't really even talked about, well, I guess we can save this for like kind of the last thing, but they obviously teased the arrival of Captain Marvel in the post-credit scene, and I'm getting pretty excited about that. I don't as someone who doesn't really know anything about Captain Marvel, it's just exciting to see a major female hero being introduced with her own movie, no less, and two, just like a new fucking character that we've never met before. Like that's why I think Black Panther was so incredibly interesting. Mm-hmm. So.
Also, the return of Coulson, if only briefly.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Because it's gonna be a prequel. It's gonna be set in the '90s, I think.
So. Mm-hmm.
Agent Coulson.
Oh, Agent Coulson. Oh, I didn't realize he was gonna be in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Captain Marvel takes place in the '90s.
Ah, didn't realize. Okay, cool. Because I'm just trying to. I don't want this cast to go too long, but I want to talk about stuff. What was your opinions quickly on teenage angsty Groot?
Groot. He was.
He was okay.
He was not very memorable, which is unfortunate because I think he's always felt in Guardians 1 and 2. I think he felt very memorably a lot of scenes. I think he was just kind of there.
I think that the problem was, he didn't have much to do because there were so many people. I mean, obviously, I think kind of the point was he was teenage, angsty, didn't really want to help do anything they needed him to do. And then at the end, he does step up.
Yeah, and I definitely like that they're keeping that whole like him growing, like seeing the stages of him growing up. I think that's really cool
throughout the movies. Yeah,
yeah. So that's cool. I need to watch it again before I decide for sure because I feel like I'm forgetting several things that he did in the movie. Can we just kind of wrap up by maybe let's talk about the final
snap.
I guess we could talk about that.
The snap.
Why didn't Thor just go for the head?
I don't know.
Thanos asking the very same question.
Yeah. I don't know.
So
fucking scene with Peter, like realizing he was dying. Mm-hmm. That was rough.
Yeah.
That got me.
It was. I just wish I could feel the emotion because
you know he's coming.
Yeah. If anybody is coming, like everybody that they killed were the people that we're all pretty sure are coming back.
Exactly. Yeah, so who all vanished? Black Panther vanished, and he's getting a sequel.
Yeah.
His general, forgets her name.
No, she didn't.
Yeah,
she
didn't. Well, she faded away just as he did.
M'Baku both died.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
Not Shuri.
We don't know about Shuri.
Okay. World anyway.
Rocket.
Well, anyone you didn't see, you can assume.
Oh, did Rocket vanish?
Yep. Yep. Everybody. Oh, yeah.
No. Rocket was the only survivor of the Guardians.
Every Guardian except.
No, I'm reading the list here right now.
No, every Guardian except for Rocket.
Yeah.
Rocket didn't. Rocket. Everyone else but Rocket.
Even Drax.
Yeah.
Damn.
Not that's because I remember I talked about it with Bernadette afterwards. Every Guardian but Rocket.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, Nebula, like Jero says in chat, Nebula.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Nebula and Tony are the only ones on Titan.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow. Everyone else that's gonna be an interesting pairing in the Avengers War.
But yeah, so I agree. Like, I honestly wish they would have chosen.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. Okoye. Okay, yeah, no, the ones who survived were.
I think you were reading a survive list.
Shut up.
Rogers. The thing for me is, I wish they would have killed the ones that could have potentially got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like, there'd be a question.
Exactly. Like them killing off Sam. Like, I could see that happening. You know, yeah. them killing off like Nebula. I could see that. Like Captain. I honestly wish they would have killed off Captain.
But you know what? And it kind of like what Chris Davis said about them being like, this is like the adventures of Iron Man and Captain America, but like you still got to remember, like, this is post Civil War where Tony and Captain are not necessarily on the best terms, and this is like the perfect
setup they're fine with each other, but not fine with, you know, I guess
but they still decided to go their separate ways and kind of do their own thing, and like this is kind of forcing them to maybe come together and work together again, which is going to be kind of the driving force. I don't think they're fine together.
Like, remember the last scene that they shared together?
No, I know, I understand.
Like, I don't think they're fine. I mean, that's definitely a confrontation that's coming down the road.
And I think I'm very excited to see that confrontation, or to see what they're like trying to work together again following the events of Civil War, because this is going to kind of force them to do that. I don't know. I'm just really glad, like, it's going to be a relatively short wait, only a year to the next one. So
yeah, they said next summer.
Yeah. I think May. So I think, like, literally a year from, like, tomorrow, I think is the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
Next Avengers, at least. So, is there anything else you want to say before we, don't forget Nick Fury and, what's her face?
Maria Hill.
They both went poof.
And I'm actually really interested to see, what happens with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tomorrow. That's when the next episode's supposed to premiere. And, last week's episode only mentioned New York. It had nothing to do with what happened in Wakanda, so...
Oh, so they're actively mentioning stuff happening in Infinity War?
They've always done that with all the films.
Every Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. has loosely been tied to what's going on in the MCU. They will always reference on, this just happened.
Yeah,
that's cool. They've always been in the same universe.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, let us know. I'm curious. I don't know if I'm curious enough to watch the show, but I'm curious.
It's a good show. It gets better. I mean, the second season kind of was eh. But like
the first two seasons were great. The third season's where it starts again.
Oh, sorry, it was season three.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right. Jesus, Chris Davis, I'm gonna punch you.
But
just my kind of personal closing thoughts. I don't mind it ending how it ended. I know a lot of people were kind of depressed with the ending. Whatever. Like Crispy was saying, I don't believe any of them are dead forever, or maybe most of them. So it wasn't that big of a deal for me, but I do like that it kind of ended not so much on a happy note.
Yeah.
I did like the villain. I did like the humor. I think overall it was a pretty solid movie I do need to watch again.
Like up until the last 15 minutes of this film, I was like, okay, this is pretty good. And then the snap happened and everybody started dying. I was like, this is no longer a family film. And I'm looking around the audience and like, there's eight-year-olds that are in the audience. Like, they're not going to understand exactly what's going on. All they know is their fucking favorite characters are dying. Like, I'm leaving the theater and I'm driving by and I see this 8-year-old kid dressed up as Spider-Man with a Captain America blanket and his dad, and they're going into the theater. And I'm like, that's going to be a fucking rough conversation later.
They have no idea.
like us as adults, we can process, like, okay, we know we got movies coming up with these characters returning. We know something's going to happen. These kids aren't going to understand. They're going to have a fucking rough time of it.
It's like going to be traumatized for a year.
That's like the trailer for Mr. Rogers we saw before when he's like, what does assassination mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Oh, man.
Maybe a little over their heads.
This is a challenge to which they will have to rise.
Yeah.
I guess all I'll say in closing is that I enjoyed the movie a lot. I kind of feel the same way about it as I felt about it. I think they're really entertaining and really great. I think they've all up to this point had some flaws, but overall, like, they're very entertaining films, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how they're going to finish this off. I will also say that I've been personally trying to avoid spoilers and shit or trailers and whatnot, and I remember one quote from maybe it was one of the directors or Kevin Feige or something, but he said something about at some point in the production of Infinity War, which was going to be part one and part two, they decided to make Infinity War and then the Avengers 4 is going to be a totally separate story. Like, this was no longer going to be a part one and part two. Total sham. A total fucking sham.
Not necessarily.
I've been had.
No, it's not. No.
Infinity War is over. Thanos got all the gems. He killed a bunch of people.
Thanos won.
Yeah, that's Infinity War's done.
But this is part one of a larger story.
It can't be Infinity War. Yeah. Where's Adam Warlock?
No, it's not that it's part one. It's now we are in the aftermath of Infinity War. Infinity War is done. This is the fucking cleanup. This is what comes next.
They're playing fast and loose with that term, but yes, I agree with you.
I want to see some receipts, man. I want to see a source on that. Because you've been saying that for a while, and I don't remember ever hearing that bit.
I will see if I can find it.
That was a plan they had years ago.
I just remember at some point, Avengers 3 and 4 was called Infinity War Part 1 and Infinity War Part 2. They even had a logo for it.
That was like back in like 2014, 2015, yes, but that changed.
And it is no longer Infinity War Part 2. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Crispy, do you have any closing thoughts?
It was pretty good, but I'm still kind of... With these big Marvel event movies, there's a lot going on, there's a lot to take in, and usually the first time I watch it, it just kind of washes over me. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of don't feel that much about it right now, but I know if I watch it again, I'll probably take a little more away from it this time.
Yeah.
Like, but every one of these movies, like, I feel like Civil War was the same way, Avengers 2 was the same way, like... I don't really care when I get out of the movie theater and then I go and watch it again like 6 months later and I'm like, man, you know what? That was fucking dope. There was some cool stuff going on there.
Yeah.
So sure.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll get there here. Right now I'm at about a 7 or an 8 with it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty good. But dude, I will tell you one thing. I am super excited for the next Doctor Strange movie. He was fucking awesome.
He was good in this.
Yeah. Yes, he was great.
Hopefully there's more Wong. Great. Needs more Wong. Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. Oh, show. All right. Unless everybody has any...
Hey, I'm pretty excited to know that Arrested Development is now canon in the MCU.
Wait, did I miss Arrested Development reference?
Well, yeah, because Tobias Bluth is in the Collector's place when they show up to fight Thanos.
Did you see that in the movie or did you hear about it afterwards?
No, I saw it in the movie.
Okay, I didn't see about it. I heard about it afterwards.
Like, hey, who's that blue character?
Yeah.
Also, evidently, in Civil War at the airport scene, the blue stair car is there.
And by the way, it's not Tobias Bluth, it's Tobias Fiumke.
Fiumke. I forgot that they got divorced.
Respect.
He's not part of the blue family. He married someone in the blue family. Chris Davis, do you know how marriage in the States works?
Tangents, people.
Okay.
Let's wrap this show up.
All right.
I've got to eat dinner. Guys, I will kill you. Guys, thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody, thank you to all of our patrons and subscribers who are tuning in and listening and chatting with us in Discord, which you can find at discord.gg/4player. If you'd like to support us, you can listen to these podcasts as we record them live. If you're a $5 or higher patron, you can find us at patreon.com/4player for that. And of course, you can find us at 4playernetwork.com. Until our next movie podcast, good night. And yeah, I guess join us tomorrow night, Thursday night, for our next video game focused podcast. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.